It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Another tough one for the Blue Jays as they fall 6-5 to the New York Yankees in the opener of this three-game series from Salem Field in Buffalo as the bullpen coughs one up again for the Blue Jays in the second half of this ball game as they led it 5-2 going into the top of the sixth inning. But the Yankees would get a run there off Hyunjin Ryu, who would go six. They would then score two in the seventh, one in the eighth, and defeat the Blue Jays 6-5 this evening in Buffalo. We'll talk to Kevin Barker coming up in a few moments' time. But as always, you can get us on the text line. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. You can also get us on Twitter at WongSN590 at JGoldberg12. But Josh, once again, broken record. The bullpen, not a great spot for the Blue Jays right now as the pen coughs up another one here. They get a solid outing from Hyunjin Ryu, who did not have his A-plus stuff by any means, but still gives them a quality start. As I mentioned before, the Blue Jays led it 5-3 after six innings of play, and not that a two-run lead is, guaranteed or anything, but with the issues this bullpen has been dealing with, I don't think any lead is really too safe at this point outside of the 18-4 victory we saw the other night in Boston. But here we are once again, clamoring for bullpen help, I think, for this Blue Jays team.
Yeah, I'm just at a loss, honestly, for words. There's really... I don't really know what else you can say at this point. It just is, it's soul crushing losses seemingly left, right, and center. And after the offensive explosion of Saturday and Sunday in Boston, you feel you're riding high a little bit. And I've been thinking this, you're finding ways to lose games that you should win. I just think that if you get five runs and a quality start against the New York Yankees and you have a 5-2, 5-3 lead going into the seventh inning, that's a baseball game that you have to win. It's not 100% of the time, but I don't, at least 80% of the time, if not much more than that. It's just, it's not good enough. And look at the stretch coming up. They got Garrett Cole tomorrow night, Ross Stripling. That will be challenging. And then I don't know, what are you looking at? Maybe you get, if somehow can take 2-3, 1-3, lose a series, whatever happens here. The upcoming stretch of the end of June and then I guess a little bit into towards July, where you've got the Marlins, the Mariners, and the Orioles basically on the schedule. This is it. This is, for me, in a lot of ways, the make or break stretch of the season. If you don't do major damage against these not very good teams, then I don't really know what that says about your hopes of making a push come the playoffs. And you never know. You could be five games out at the end of July or six games out of a wild card spot at the end of July and go on a crazy run. But you got to bank some wins coming up here against some of these easier type clubs on your schedule. So that's where I'm at right now. But if you're asking me if I have confidence that the bullpen can get outs against the Baltimore Orioles or the Seattle Mariners or the Miami Marlins, I don't have confidence that they could get AAA hitters out right now because guys just aren't getting it done in whatever role you want to put them in. It's time to, like, I understand blaming the manager in certain spots, but there's just not enough guys here who can get outs. And even tonight, Jordan Romano comes in a tie game, which is what everyone, myself included, was clamoring for last night, and he didn't get the job done.
Yeah, I think it's a scenario where, I said it before, everybody wants this team to make a trade and pick up a reliever, but I think they're going to exhaust all the internal options for the time being. We had Shai Davidi on the pregame show over the weekend, and he said his sense from the team was that it's difficult to make a deal right now. Mm-hmm. It takes two to tango. It's not like you just call up a team and say, hey, what is it going to take? Let's just do it right now. You still have to be measured in how you go about making deals. And you're not just going to give up a top level prospect to bring in a reliever just because you need a guy right now. The Blue Jays still have Patrick Murphy. They've got Thomas Hatch, of course, potentially is an option. People calling for Nate Pearson as well. I don't think that's going to happen, but they still have some, guys down in AAA that they could look at, I think, before they, do head to the market. It's evident that they need relief help. They just got to do something here to make it a little bit better and a little bit more palatable for Charlie Montoya. We'll get to Kevin Barker in a few moments here, but before we do that, who is your player of the game?
So, I'm going to go on the Yankees side of the spectrum tonight, and I've given the bullpen of the Blue Jays the player of the game nod a bunch of times, and it's just, it's easy for me to give the Yankees bullpen the nod tonight because Jordan Montgomery was not very good, 5 runs, 4 earned, and 5 1/3, and then the Yankees bullpen basically came in. Yeah, there were a couple of bend don't break moments, but they didn't break, and it was, I don't know if refreshing's the right word, but seeing a competent bullpen, you know, be gifted a lead when the other bullpen, their counterpart, melted down, and not giving the lead back, they did the job that you have to do in these situations, which has been the case on the opposite side of things far too often since the end of May. The Blue Jays bullpen just hasn't pulled their weight. They've blown games. They've blown saves. I think that's 6 blown saves since about May 22nd. It's just not good enough. So tonight, just because they were able to do their job, I'm going with the Yankees bullpen.
Yeah, I'll go with the Yankee side as well. I'll go with Chris Gittens. Cool moment, as always, when a player hits his first big league homer. He was mired in a tough slump to begin his major league career. I think he was 0 for 14, but he hits a monster bomb of Hyunjin Ryu tonight to pick up his first major league homer. So I'll look at Chris Gittens, the Yankees first baseman, as the player of the game for me. It is Jay's Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob Long, Josh Goldberg. Please be joined now by Kevin Barker to help us recap this 6-5 Blue Jays loss to the New York Yankees. And Kevin, the bullpen, once again, here we are talking about it night after night after night. I don't think, you know, you can look at Charlie Montoyo this evening and take, you know, umbrage with his decision making tonight. I thought it was totally fine bringing in Anthony Castro into that spot. I think, you know, some people were scratching their heads a little bit that Tyler Chatwood was the one that came out in the top of the ninth there to try to hold on to that one run lead, got the job done. And it's evident that Charlie wants to get him right at some point, but what can you even say about the bullpen at this point? I mean, Anthony Castro, a guy that we thought was, you know, in that circle of trust that we thought was starting to turn things around, just didn't have it tonight. It's, you know, it just, we're just a broken record here talking about
it,
this.
It is. It's getting harder and harder to talk about it, right? He went to the guys he was supposed to go to. You're not going to the guys that were good a month ago. You're going to the guys that have had a couple of good outings in a row, and the Castros and the Tim Mazes. Jordan Romano's only pitched 3 innings in June, right? They played 12 games. You know, this is the first time he's pitched. I know he pitched a couple of nights ago, but he's rarely pitching. You know, to think he's going to come in and start locating, he threw a fastball down the middle. You just look at what the Yankees run out there. You look at what the Blue Jays run out there. You know, when you're winning at home 5-3 going into the seventh inning, this game you have to win. And for them to just continue to cough up runs and leads the way they are and losing these games, it has to be demoralizing for the lineup. They're a very young lineup. That'll be the interesting thing, is how do they handle that? You know, losing is not fun. I've been on a bunch of bad teams. You don't learn anything by losing. No, you learn by the mistakes that you make, but you don't learn by losing. They don't like to lose, and for them to continue to lose the way they're losing, something's going to give. You know, this happy-go-lucky, right, everybody loves everybody. Well, you continue to lose the way you're losing, and one side of the ball is doing what they're doing and the other side of the ball is absolutely doing nothing, that sometimes will turn into a bad clubhouse. You know, one side starts hating the other side, and that will never be a good thing. So I don't know how Ross Atkins fixes this. This is not a one-person fix. This is a multiple fix. You eliminate some of the guys. You bring in a whole new fresh arms, guys that have been there and done it before, guys that can pitch high leverage situations, guys that Charlie knows that when he hands the ball to them, 99.9% of the time that job's going to get done. They need multiple arms. How do they get them? Are they comfortable enough going out and giving up a prospect or two prospects, a prospect and a big leaguer? Is it even worth giving up a big leaguer for a bullpen arm? Not real sure of that. So it's, you know, Nate Pearson for me is not the answer. What would tell you that he could throw a strike one come out of a bullpen? Would you felt comfortable having Nate Pearson coming in tonight in the eighth inning with a one-run lead? I'm not sure I would. Can he command a fastball? Can he eliminate somebody with a secondary pitch? Have you seen any of that before? I haven't. Is it fair to Thomas Hatch to try and put him in high leverage situations when he's trying to be a starter? Probably not. Patrick Murphy? Huh? Who? What? It's all of these things are adding up to, you know, I'm with you guys. This is rubber meeting the road kind of thing when it comes to the schedule, and they're starting to play some softer teams where they're going to have to gain some ground. The offense, when George Springer gets back, to say that George Springer needs to hit the ground running when he becomes a big leaguer again is the biggest understatement that we're going to say all year, because they have to have him, and they have to have him being the George Springer they spent $150 million on.
So I want to ask you about Romano in the eighth, coming in the right spot, and nobody can really get on that tonight.
No.
But Tyler Wade steals second base, and he hasn't had a successful base stealer thrown out yet in his career. And he's got that really deliberate motion and a long setup, and is obviously ripe to be stolen on. Like, how do you go about addressing that? Because I understand in a clean inning, the ideal situation is just striking everyone out and not having any base runners. But when you do have a base runner, how do you go about fixing this so it's not just free run to steal bases and set up scoring situations?
See, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I saw he had a little bit more of a slide step when Wade stole that base there. He was trying to hold the runner on a little bit closer. You know, he threw a wild pitch because of that reason, but he's trying a little bit harder. I don't want him to do that. I don't care really if they steal bases off him, right? When he starts thinking about the runner more than throwing a quality strike, what's he do? He throws the ball right down the middle, and that – they made him pay for those kind of things. You know, I don't want him trying to be quicker to home plate. I don't want him trying to adjust, you know, leg kicks with health things that he's went through and the amount of times that he hasn't been pitching. I just want him thinking about throwing quality strikes, getting after people with his best two pitches and being efficient and doing it. And maybe every once in a while throwing two innings. And not so much worrying about the base runners. You know, that's something maybe he'll learn later in his career. But right now, right, it's why are you trying to slide step? Why are you trying to worry about that? Worry about the hitter. Worry about getting him out. And then that won't allow the runner to score, and you can help your team win games. It's just, it's an accumulation of a bunch of things, right? It's plays not made. We've seen this, right? Bo throws the ball away at first. Cavan slides and misses a ball in the infield that he should have made the play. It's just little things that beat this team, and they're going to have to clean them up, you know, and then you add the bullpen woes that they're having. Right now, they're just not good enough, I think, to beat good teams consistently, and these are things they need to clean up if they plan on doing those things.
It's Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you, joined by Kevin Barker as the Blue Jays fall 6-5 to the Yankees in this one. And before we let you go, Kevin, got to ask you about Hyunjin Ryu, who grinded out six innings tonight in the no decision, gave up three earned runs on five hits, four walks, which is pretty uncharacteristic. Yep. Had three strikeouts as well. And the last little stretch here has been tough for him. He's, you know, trying to grind it out. He is the ace of this staff, and he's going to give this team everything he's got. But, you know, six runs against Houston, had that tough one against the White Sox where he had to grind it out a little bit, and then today where he walks a season high four. Well, what have you seen from Ryu over the last three starts here with his outings?
Yeah, he had 3 4-pitch walks, which will make you scratch your head a little bit, right? You know, the command away with the changeup, that's his specialty pitch. It's not been real good his last three starts. Fastball commands all over the place. We saw that, right? The fastball's in that he tries to go to, the two home runs that he gave up. He was trying to go in there. They leak out over the plate. One of them's 88, one of them's 90. That's BP heater at the big league level. Look to me like tonight he was aiming a little bit. That's something we haven't seen a ton of, right? If he knew he wasn't mechanically sound with it, and when he was missing, he was trying to really miss. That's when you aim. That's when you're not efficient. That's when you throw a bunch of balls that normally you don't throw, you know. And he was chasing velocity, which is one thing that I've never seen him do. You know, you could see him a couple of times with his fastball early in the game. It was 88, 89. He would turn around, look at the scoreboard. You could almost see him like, well, everything mechanically felt right, but that's not the thing. And then you can actually see him giving it that little bit extra, and then that's why, right, the fastball sort of was all over the strike zone, and he couldn't really command it. And, again, it's, you know, he's doing it in a minor league park. He's doing it to get the New York Yankees. Now, I understand they're scoring about four runs a game, but it still is the New York Yankees. They got a bunch of, you know, Goliath right-handed hitters who you have to command. He gave up three runs. You know, he walked four guys. He had the lead when he handed the ball to Charlie. That's all you can ask for, right? It's not the starters that are giving it up, and you got to, you know, just respect that he can do that, throwing 88 to 90 and mixing it around and not having his best pitches.
Yep, definitely can't blame him for tonight, that is for sure. Kevin, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing it.
Okay, have a good night, everybody.
There's Kevin Barker joining us here on Jays Talk. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. As always, you can text us 590-590. Give us your name and your location. We'll read some of those coming up as well. Blue Jays fall to the Yankees 6-5. It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
13 homers and 39 RBIs. 13 homers, a new career high for Bo. Goes after the first pitch and hits it into the air. Deep right center. Gardner back looking up. Goodbye, home run. Bo Bichette goes opposite field for home run number 14. And the Blue Jays have taken a 2-1 lead.
Bo Bichette staying hot. 2-for-4 tonight with his 14th homer of the season. But unfortunately, it comes in a losing cause as the Yankees edge the Blue Jays 6-5 at Salem Field in the opener of this three-game series. It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg with you. You can text us 59590, give us your name and your location. We'll read those coming up in just a few moments' time. But still some other storylines we wanted to get to, Josh, outside of the bullpen, which we'll touch on, I'm sure, in a moment here with some of these texts. But Randall Grichuk, a tough night at the office for Randall. Went 0-for-5. This evening was the final out of the ball game as well. Grounded into a double play. And at one juncture of this game, when the Blue Jays had runners at first and second, it looked to be doing some things here. And you look at his recent stretch. It has not been particularly good. You tweeted about it, of course, earlier on in this game. So I guess we need to update those stats just a little bit. But the strikeout rate is nearing 40% right now. Over his last little stretch, and just not the same guy that we saw prior to that. Now, I know some people will say, well, you know, is this Randall Grichuk being Randall Grichuk? And I think you can obviously make that case. He's a streaky hitter at the best of times. But so far in the month of June, you tweeted, I think it was after his first AB, 9-for-50, 4 homers, 17 Ks, 1 walk, 34.7 K rate, 2% walk rate. And as you also put it, not great for Randall. What do you make of this recent stretch? Is it just a cold streak, or is it Randall reverting back to the mean a little bit here?
I think probably both, right? I do definitely think that there is some regression to the mean, and there was a lot in his start to the season that seemed very, very believable, right? Going the other way, different approach with two strikes, and maybe pitchers have made the adjustment. Maybe he's gone away from that some. Maybe it's a little bit of both, but the at-bats are just repetitive, non-competitive, repeatedly just not good, right? In a lot of situations, they're just not good at-bats. And in the five hole, in this situation, with some of the guys in this lineup getting on base, you just, like, bases loaded, couple guys on base, grounding into double plays, killing rallies. It's just, it's not a situation that you can have, right? If he's having this level of scuffle, when do you talk about moving him out of that spot where repeatedly there are a lot of spots where you'd like somebody to come up with a good at bat and drive in a run, or just have a better at bat, something more productive? I don't think we're there yet, but we're definitely getting closer. But honestly, 1-4, we talk about how great this lineup is 1-4, and it has been great. There are some concerns after that with Grichuk hitting the way that he's hitting. You look throughout the rest of the lineup, Gurriel has been a below average offensive player, really streaky. Panic has had some nice moments, but still, he's an average at best offensive player. Riley Adams, Espinal had 3 hits tonight, but 5-9 is a bit of a sore spot right now. And Springer coming back, and Biggio, especially against a righty, will rectify that, I think, a little bit. But there are still some concerns in certain spots in your lineup. There's some streaky guys in this lineup, and hopefully you have the depth of talent to overcome that, and it isn't really a big issue. But there are certainly some characters in this lineup that sometimes leave a little something on the bone, something to be desired.
Well, I think, you know, one thing we do know about Randall is that eventually he's going to get back on the hot streak, and then we're going to be obviously singing his praises once again. But I think, you know, when George Springer comes back, Kevin Biggio obviously lengthens out the lineup. Randall slots in much better, you know, in that 6, potentially 7 hole, as opposed to the 5 hitter. He's been there for most of the season. And look, we all understand, you know, he's done an incredible job this year to hold it down with George Springer only playing 3.5 games so far this season. So I don't think, you know, we're overlooking the fact that, you know, Randall has done a lot for this team. But, you know, as the everyday 5 hitter, I mean, I guess he could do a lot worse. He is still an above average hitter on the season with a 770 OPS. But, you know, when this lineup gets lengthened a little bit more, Marcus Semien, Bo Bichette, you know, one of those guys is going to get moved down to the 5 spot, you would think, with the return of George Springer. and Randall moving down to the lineup will, you know, obviously help out this lineup with the lengthening of it. But, you know, maybe he doesn't come up in as many big spots as we've seen him, you know, of late, where he has struggled just a little bit. But we know Randall is going to figure it out once again. He's going to go on another hot streak, and it's going to be an enjoyable watch. But right now, it's tough sliding right now for the Blue Jays center fielder. All right, let's get to some text messages here. And I see one from our buddy Robert in Ajax says, how many games does this bullpen have to blow for us before the Jays finally make a move? If they win half of these games they've blown, they'd be a top team in the AL. It just seems like every time the Jays lose, the bullpen blows a lead, which is very upsetting. And I think that's probably, you know, the most frustrating part, Josh. It's not as if the starters are getting blown up and, you know, the Blue Jays were down 6-1 in this one and they clawed back and they lost 6-5 and you say, ah, like at least they were in it. They had a 5-2 lead after five innings of play. They had a 5-3 lead after six innings of play. You know, nine outs is still nine outs, and the Yankees, you know, have some good hitters, but they're not, you know, the murderer's row I think we've seen in years past. But it's just, you know, a situation where we keep saying this every single night, it seems like, with this bullpen right now, with the state of it. They have to do something here to make some moves. They're obviously going to have to make some moves because Carl Edwards Jr. left today's ball game with abdominal discomfort. Did not look very good leaving the field. So at the very least, we're going to see someone make the move to Buffalo tomorrow to join this roster. Mm-hmm. Still haven't seen Taylor Saucedo in a game, despite the fact that he was called up over the weekend. He might be might have to dust the cobwebs off old Taylor, get him into a ball game. But at the very least, we're going to see changes tomorrow, and I'm going to be interested to see who that pitcher is. I mean, we talked a lot about Patrick Murphy. Hobie Harris is a guy I know a lot of people have pegged down in Buffalo, or with Trenton, if you will, as someone that could come up. He's had a strong season down in AAA, but at least we'll see a new face tomorrow, and people can get excited about that.
Yeah, you are limited. I've been saying this for a while, that you are limited somewhat on internal improvements. And you got to take into consideration the injuries on the IL in the bullpen. That in and of itself would be a good bullpen. So it's a really brutal spot to be in, but you got to improve it. And this isn't MLB The Show. It's not a video game. You can't just snap your fingers and make a deal. But there has to be a level of urgency. Kevin Smith's hitting in AAA. You look at somebody like that, maybe their stock is, his stock is a little bit elevated. Maybe that's an avenue you might look to go in terms of improving the bullpen. There are always ways. I understand making desperation trades don't usually work out that well, but you can't let the season slip away here because your bullpen keeps puking up leads three times a week, seemingly. So I keep saying expiring contract relievers, you can get deals like that done, even if it costs you a slightly higher end prospect than maybe you'd like to pay. The lineup deserves better reinforcements in the bullpen. They're doing their job. They scored five runs in the first half of the game. Sure, they didn't do much afterwards, but they had the lead and the starter grinded out a quality start. The bullpen has to do the job, plain and simple. And if the guys who are currently there aren't getting it done, and they're not, and can't get it done, and it sure seems like they can't, then you got to figure out a way to do it. And maybe call-ups work out, but you're three, potentially even four quality relief arms away from having a really good bullpen. And maybe one or two is internally, but that's still one or two that you need externally. And you got to figure it out as soon as possible before this season slips away.
Yeah, if this was a game back in April, the Blue Jays probably win it with the amount of, you know, shutdown arms that they had in the latter stage of a game. But right now in June, a 5-2 lead, a 5-3 lead is quite perilous with the ups and downs of this bullpen. And as you pointed out earlier, we saw Jordan Romano come into the game tonight, and he came into the situation that he should have been there in the top of the eighth inning in the tie game, and he still gave up the inherited run. Like, when your best guy's out there and he can't even get the job done, then, you know, you're in big trouble with the bullpen. Short and sweet, JJ in Toronto says, this bullpen is a joke. One, can a starter be allowed to enter the seventh inning? You can't win a division in the first 65 games, but you can certainly let one slip away. And that's something we haven't touched on yet. Hyunjin Ryu leaving this game after 92 pitches, unable to pitch into the seventh inning for now the third straight starts. Didn't look to be laboring at all. It was a grind for him today. Didn't have his top-notch stuff. But what did you make of the ace of this staff coming out after 92 pitches?
So on the surface, I hated it because the bullpen has been terrible, right? And going to them earlier is never an ideal situation. So he's been pushed a little bit more. He's had some outings where he's been high 90s, even over 100. And there's seemingly been a conscious effort by the coaching staff and by the starting pitchers to put more on their plate and try and get this team deeper into ballgames to take more away from the bullpen. Because the more you ask from this bullpen as currently constructed, the better the chance is that they're going to blow up and cost you the game. And I would have liked to have seen him continue as much as he could have to, again, try and save a couple of bullets for later in the game. We haven't heard anything. If there's been anything, like if there was a conversation, he knows his body pretty well. Maybe he was done and just didn't have much more to give. But certainly on the surface, I did not like it. And obviously, it really didn't work out.
Yeah, just quickly seeing some tweets coming out of Charlie Montoyo's Zoom call tonight, and not sure we'll have time to actually get to the audio, but seeing this one quote, courtesy of Rob Longley from the Toronto Sun, Charlie Montoyo, frustrated tonight, quote, "It's been a whole bleeping month. These are who we've got, and we're going to trust them," when talking about the bullpen. So I think Charlie may have finally had it with the bullpen and the lack of legitimate arms that he has right now. So I don't know if that's saying the quiet part out loud there, Josh, but maybe it is a cry to the front office to help him out right now, because anybody that he's putting out there, it just seems like it's not working, and the Blue Jays are losing some games here. I know Jamie Campbell of Blue Jays Central tweeted out that the Blue Jays have lost six games when leading after the sixth inning so far this year, and three of those have come since last Tuesday. So it's been quite an avalanche of these bullpen losses over the last little bit. When we continue on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, we will hear, actually, yeah, let's hear from Charlie Montoyo. We'll try to get that, and we'll continue reading your texts as well. Send them in. 590-590 is where you can reach us. It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Blue Jays fall 6-5 to the Yankees. You're listening to the Sportsnet Radio Network. It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays falling to the Yankees 6-5 this evening. We will hear from Charlie Montoyo, the Blue Jays manager, in just a few moments here. But once again, want to reiterate, you can send us your text. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. We'll read those coming up in a few moments as you can send them in. We'll be here with you until the bottom of the hour. But in case you missed the ball game tonight, pretty much the same script we've seen over the last little bit here. Blue Jays jump out to a lead, and then the bullpen coughs it up as the Yankees score a pair of runs off Anthony Castro in the top of the seventh, and then Jordan Romano comes in with an inherited runner and gives up an RBI single to pinch hitter Clint Frazier, and then the Blue Jays cannot get the job done as they load the bases in the bottom of the eighth inning, but Bo Bichette flies out to right field to end the threat of Zach Britton. Aroldis Chapman comes in, does Aroldis Chapman things, picks up his 13th save of the season, and the Blue Jays lose the series opener. So like I said, we'll get to the text in a moment, but right now, let's hear from the Blue Jays manager. Here is Charlie Montoyo.
When Edwards came out there, can you tell us any more about what he's dealing with or how severe that might be?
He mentioned his oblique. That's all I know, and he's going to get an MRI tomorrow.
Hey, Charlie, I'm just wondering, like, you see some of your guys, you know, like Castro had earned his way into some leverage, Chadwick had earned his way into leverage, and then you see them get into leverage and guys aren't pitching in the same way. I'm just wondering, like, do you see something mental there about, sometimes in the past we'd say, oh, the ninth inning would get to guys. I mean, do you wonder about whether guys are building up that moment a little too much?
I don't know, Chad. That's tough to explain. All I know is it seems like every day I get a question. So what's wrong with Castro? What's wrong with Chadwick? Or now it's Dolis. What's wrong with Dolis? Why are you pitching Dolis in that inning? It's been every month. I mean, the whole month about the same thing. You know, the guy, we're going to give him a chance. You know, Castro, we need Castro to pitch good. Chadwick was good today. And Dolis, we need him. You know, Romano came in, gave up a double. He's still going to pitch. You know, these who we got. And we're going to trust him. You know, this is all we got, you know. And we've been in every game. As you know, we've been in every game. Just the bullpens aren't doing the job. But you know what? They're going to get a chance again tomorrow.
And as you make decisions on sort of how to go to the next day, Charlie, you know, the work that they're putting in, like, you know, do you see it take into account some of the work that you're seeing that between sessions that maybe Bushman's saying, like, you know, this is a guy who deserves it. You know, how do you kind of make your plans for the next day?
I mean, have you seen everybody's getting a chance to pitch in high leverage, you know? Now, Payens did a nice job yesterday in 1-0 game, you know, in Boston, did a great job. He's probably going to pitch next time. And we're going to be in high leverage almost every day because we have a good team and we have a good starting rotation. So the last 3 innings, last 4 innings, we're going to be in the game, you know? So we just need our bullpen to pitch better. That's all.
Hey, Charlie, you know, I know a couple days ago you mentioned a guy like Thomas Hatch still being stretched out as a starter. There's maybe Patrick Murphy. Are you and Pete and Ross maybe going to have a huddle and figure out if there are other options in the AAA that you need to consider?
I mean, Thomas Hatch is a starter, so he's going to keep starting, you know. And again, of course, you know, we got the arms, so we just need to pitch better. That's all I can tell you about that, you know. But of course, we're talking about everything because we know that has been a problem, you know, for the last month and a half. We have been talking about it. But, you know, Castro's going to do better. Romano's going to do better. Meza. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I know they struggled for a while, but we still believe in them.
Hey, Charlie, tough losses can be frustrating. How frustrating are you? How frustrated are you right now?
Really? No. You heard me.
You seem a little upset tonight.
Yeah, because it is frustrating, Rob. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, we're here to win games, you know, and it's been frustrating because we have been playing good baseball. Just when your bullpen struggles, no move, nothing's going to work. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But the one thing you know about this team and our coaching staff and me, that we're going to come tomorrow and we're going to battle again. You know, we're going to have a chance to win again tomorrow. So, of course, it's frustrating. You know, I'm not going to lie to you on that one. Plus, you can see it right now.
There is Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo, and that's about as frustrated, wow, I think, as you're ever going to hear. Charlie usually, you know, is pretty measured in his takes post-game, win, lose, draw, what have you. But that's about as emotional as I think we'll ever see him in a post-game media conference, Josh. You know, he, you know, played it out pretty clear there that these are the guys that they have. They're going to, you know, keep going out there with them. They're going to have to perform, of course. It was interesting that, you know, Caleb McGrath of The Athletic asked about Thomas Hatch, and he pretty much shut that down, said that Thomas Hatch is going to be a starter. So for all the people that thought, hey, maybe Thomas Hatch is an option, maybe a multi-inning option, does not seem to be the case right now, unless the Blue Jays change course on that. And didn't really, you know, mention anybody down in AAA. Obviously, someone's going to have to come up tomorrow with the injury to Carl Edwards Jr., but it does seem right now that the conversations that Ross Atkins and Pete Walker and Charlie Montoyo are having right now, this is kind of what they have to roll with for the time being. Not saying that they're not going to make external moves at some point here, but for at least the short term, it's going to be these guys that at the major league level and maybe a few arms coming up from AAA. That was sort of my takeaway from that.
And if that's not as without Wright saying we need better arms in our bullpen, that's as close as you're going to get, right? He's basically saying this is what we've got and we're going to just kind of go about it with what we've got here. And that is the truth, right? The deployment has been questionable. We talked about it last night ad nauseum. It was certainly covered. But, you know, you're kind of putting lipstick on a pig in some regards here, right? A lot of the guys have done a good job at points, but there aren't that many proven major league relief options. God love Joel Piamps. The thought of Joel Piamps consistently pitching in high leverage shouldn't inspire a ton of confidence. He doesn't miss a ton of bats. Maybe it works, but that's not, to me, a fix, right? Right now, what you've got, you're just going to continue banging your head on the wall and hoping that it hurts less the 10th time that you do it. It's going to start to hurt more. That's not how that usually works. So I just think that you have to find a way to bring in some external options. Internal is great. but Connor Overton, we've talked about some of these guys. I just don't know how realistic it is to plop those guys in with little to no major league experience and expect them to pitch well in a 2 or 1 run game in the 7th or 8th inning. It's just unrealistic. So I just think it's simple. I know it's simple to say, it's harder to make these deals happen. You got a good farm system. You're not going to have to part with your top tier guys to get expiring relievers. You got to do it. If you, I keep saying this, if you fancy yourself a team that wants to be in the hunt around the deadline, and then obviously in August and September, the bullpen's probably not going to get you there as currently constructed. So be proactive about it and find a way to get something done.
Yeah, and I can understand that, you know, front offices, of course, they need to be more measured. They need to be more realistic and, you know, trying to not that they're trying to, you know, steal a pitcher away from an organization or try to win a trade. You know, obviously teams, when they're dealing with each other, that's not always the goal necessarily. They're trying to make deals that work for both sides and that both teams are happy. I mean, that's how trades get done. Both teams are happy with the return and they, you know, sign on the dotted line and they get something done there. It's not like, you know, your fantasy baseball league where you're each, you know, owner is trying to rip off the other owners. That's not how it works. But like you said, if the Blue Jays see themselves as a team that's trying to contend, maybe you have to bite the bullet a little bit here and make a deal that you don't feel terribly comfortable about. And maybe you feel that you are overpaying, you know, despite what it says, in your heart of hearts, that you just need to get a deal done to give your major league team an opportunity here to win some ball games. Because right now it's a tough stretch against the Red Sox, the Yankees, the White Sox before that, of course. And then you've got this part of the schedule that really frees up over the next little while here with all these games against the Baltimore Orioles. And yeah, maybe you do feel that Joel Piamps and Anthony Castro can get out the Baltimore Orioles and you don't have to bring in some reinforcements, but are you willing to take that gamble? What happens if that doesn't work? Then you're going to look back and say, oh geez, we just let this opportunity, you know, slip away because we thought we could just get it done with internal options. So better to be safe than sorry, I think, at this point. And you know, you can see it on the players' faces. You can obviously hear it in Charlie Montoya's voice today that he just needs some help. Like, give the guy some help here, that, you know, you're not leaving him out to dry every single night and having people question, you know, what's the manager doing with this guy and what's the manager doing with that guy. You know, I imagine that they're talking constantly, as, you know, Charlie Montoya mentioned, he, Pete Walker, and Ross Atkins. And, you know, you just wonder when the breaking point is for Ross Atkins, because I can't imagine he's watching this and being like, yeah, this is great, I'm totally enjoying this. Like, he's probably, you know, living and dying with it as much as, you know, everybody else is that's watching this team right now. So I don't think that's a case where Ross is just sitting back and saying, hey, this is totally fine. I'm sure he's trying to figure out an option here and how they can make this work. But just with each passing day, it's just so much more evident that something needs to happen sooner rather than later. Let's go back to the text line to wrap this thing up. And I see one from John in Mississauga says, okay, this is now on Ross Atkins. Prospects are the currency of baseball, and they're used to be they're to be used to improve the major league club. Give up a decent prospect in brackets, not elite, plus Tellez, and solve two problems in one trade. We already talked about this with Rowdy Tellez. I don't think you're getting a ton back for him at this point. You'd be trading him at the lowest point of value that he's had in his major league career. But once again, you know, it is true that what John says, the prospects are the currency of baseball. The Blue Jays have one of the top systems in the league. You could say maybe it's top heavy because they had, what, 6-7 guys in the top 100 for Baseball America. You're not moving one of those guys for a relief pitcher, but there's plenty of other, you know, players that could be on the move. You know, we looked at a guy like tonight down in AAA, Kevin Smith, a guy who, you know, formerly was seen as one of the top prospects in this system. He's lighting it up at AAA right now, playing the infield. He's got 9 bombs now at AAA. He's only 24 years old, so he's not old by any means. Maybe he doesn't have the same prospect shine, but maybe that's someone that you could, you know, have on the move in order to get some help.
Yeah, there's look at the catching situation. Maybe somebody's interested in somebody like Riley Adams. I was thinking a little bit about this and talking to somebody about why not see what Alejandro Kirk might be able to net you. I don't know what his value is, but maybe he's somebody that could net you something substantial in return. And then there's further down the system, right? Josh Palacios, Chavez Young, guys like that. And then even further down, there are plenty of lower level prospects. These are more in the top 30, but sometimes fans and just in general, you get attached to prospects and you don't want to part with them and make a short-sighted deal. But if you're not touching your top-tier guys, that's what they're there for. I understand you don't want to touch it too much and necessarily gut the farm system, but we're not talking about gutting the farm system for a couple of expiring contract relievers. Or even if you were to get someone with term and it required, I don't know, the 14th ranked prospect in the system or something like that, whatever it is, if you want to get a deal done for that type of player, that is what the prospects are there for. I understand it's great to build up the system, and a lot of the times you want to graduate your top tier prospects, and that's how you replenish your major league organization with that level of talent. But on the peripheries or in the meaty middle, that's where you dip in to make the deals to make your club better. Look what teams like the Cubs have done in the past. I know the Astros have cheated, but they traded Zach Greinke. They parted with JB Bukauskas, Rojas, who has become a pretty good player for the Diamondbacks. But if you want to improve your club, you are going to have to part with something. But these types of relievers, I just think generally, especially pending free agents, they're not going to cost you players that are all that likely to come back and bite you in the ass.
Seeing one here from Aaron in Toronto says, could you possibly predict who would get traded for the quality relief we need? He mentioned Telez, Espinal, Kevin Smith, who we touched on, and others. Also, I'd like to thank you for acknowledging it. It isn't as easy as people are making it out for the front office to get a good bullpen quickly. The funny part is that the Blue Jays front office built a really good bullpen heading into the season. It's just all the injuries have completely ravaged it. So that's why it's tough right now. It's not as if they didn't do a good job prior to the year. They did. It's just right now that they really need to make something happen because it's just completely depleted with all of these injuries. Sean from Brampton. Hi, guys. Very hard to watch the Blue Jays game. They need bullpen help. They can trade Gurriel and Telez for bullpen. Jays are World Series contenders. Front office needs to act faster. Once again, I don't imagine that Rowdy Telez is someone that you're going to be able to deal for legitimate, you know, relief help. And even at that point, I'm not sure who's, you know, taken on Rowdy Telez at this point, you know, as a bench bat. Not too many teams, I think, are taking him to be an everyday starter. You're not trading Lourdes Gurriel Jr. either for relief help. I think you're sort of putting yourself in a tougher spot there. I know George Springer is coming back, but, you know, Gurriel is still a valuable piece on this team. So I can't imagine that it's major league players, Josh, moving off the roster, unless, like you said, it's a Riley Adams potentially that someone gets moved in order to bring in some relief help. But I would say it's most likely going to be prospects and most likely going to be lower level prospects that either you may or you may not have heard of.
I know Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has had not a very good offensive year, but trading Lourdes Gurriel Jr. as the centerpiece in a reliever trade, that's where I draw the line. You can't be making deals like that. Lourdes has value industry-wide. It's been pretty clear that he was somebody that teams were interested in. He's got a great contract. Yeah, he's got his issues. Good arm in left field, good bat, streaky, but somebody who should be netting you legitimate longer-term major league help, whether it's a starting pitcher or a position player, preferably a starting pitcher. Lourdes is the type of player that you would look to involve in that. But even bullpen pieces with control, that's still, there's too much volatility year to year, generally speaking, and sometimes within the season on bullpen pieces. So I would probably draw the line on that type of player being involved in that type of trade.
Yeah, finally seeing this one text, I just want to read it because it's an absolute no, no, no. Someone says, trade Marcus Semien for somebody's best prospect. Let's not sell the farm for a season destroyed by injuries. Throw in the towel, be better next year. No. Maybe we do get to a point, you know, at the end of July where the Blue Jays are out of it and Marcus Semien is a trade piece that the Blue Jays are looking to move. But right now, you are not trading Marcus Semien for anybody's best prospect. That is not the way to go about it. Tough loss for the Blue Jays tonight, 6-5 to the New York Yankees. They are back at it tomorrow evening. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Link. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. That game tomorrow night will be game two of this series as Gerrit Cole will get the start for the Yankees. The Blue Jays will counter with Ross Stripling, who's been on a roll. First pitch just after 7 p.m. Eastern. For JR, Tom, and Josh, I'm Rob Wong. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.